Last week we looked at the first 9 verses. This morning we're going to look at Galatians 3 verses 10 through 14. Let me read these verses to you first, and then we'll take a look at a few things. Paul writes to the churches at Galatia. He says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now, we have noted for many, many years in this place, and we have also shown from the Scriptures that there is really only 2 religions in the world. We've looked at this, we've talked about it for 19 years or more. There's only 2 religions in the world: Cain or Abel. Works or grace. Law or love. Man-centered or Christ-centered. And today, in this morning's few texts, we see the result of each of these 2 religions or ways in which people are going: cursed or blessed. Cursed or blessed. Now, it doesn't mean to curse, like swearing, but I would say that every time that I was cursed out, or cussed out, as they say, it was never a good thing. Or chewed out, whether it was by a boss or somebody else, it's always a bad thing. It means more than that. To be cursed of God is to be banished from His presence, is to be sent to hell, is to be not in the presence of the Lord Christ, to be lost, not to be born again, but then to be blessed is to be enter into the joy of the presence of the King, is to be redeemed, is to be saved, is to be enlightened, quickened, illuminated. So in this passage, amongst other things, we see there's just 2 things. When it was early on as a young believer it was like just one of those times of revelation, I guess, that because I'm always, I guess that's just my nature, I try not to complicate things. I try to make them simple. Or maybe I appreciated that when I had teachers, when they would be talking, and I could understand what they were saying. And then when I would get a teacher who was what I thought was a good teacher, and even though I might not fully grasp the theories or the concepts in algebra or geometry or whatever, but that teacher could teach me to where I could still understand and solve the problems, could simplify things. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed math. There was for years I couldn't stand it. Then I got it, but I didn't really understand all the theories. But I understood what I was doing because of a teacher. My 9th grade teacher, Mr. Alms, A-L-M-S. And I was talking to the kids, and we might not understand, you might not understand everything I'm saying. You might not understand exactly everything I'm saying, but when you leave here, you'll know what I mean. And my desire is to be clear. And I remember very vividly when I was reading this book, and I noticed things just seemed to be divided by two in the Scriptures. You had works, and you had grace. You had heaven, and you had hell. You had God, and you had Satan. And I started noticing, instead of trying to put these puzzles and things like that, and Matt made a comment, I think it was last Sunday, it was one of the, another one of those revelations. This is fantastic. It was just, he said when he was looking, basically, he thought that this Bible was like a puzzle. I'm going to see if I'm explaining this right. And he was trying to read this here and try to put a puzzle there and read a little bit more and try to put a puzzle there. And then when God revealed the gospel to him, he realized that Christ, it was there. He didn't have to try to put all these pieces. Christ was it. And then as you look through the Scriptures, you see a little bit more about Him. But you see Christ and you have everything. Isn't that about what you're saying? I've never heard anybody explain it that way, but I thought, that's really good. Because that's it. People get the Bible, and that's what's going on in Galatia. They're looking at the first, second, and fifth commandment, and they're saying, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be a better mother. Tomorrow I'm going to be a better neighbor. I'm not going to think about stealing. And then they go about trying to do it. And then if they can accomplish what they think, then yeah, I did a pretty good job. They look at this book as simply instructions and rules and doings and don't doings. Being a better son, being a better daughter, whatever. Instead of realizing that you can do all these things all you want to for your whole life, and you're cursed. Because you're trying to live by law, you're trying to please God. That's the thing, by law. Now, don't misunderstand me. Do what your mom and dad say. Be a good son, be a good daughter. I'm not saying to live lawless. Because what these people were doing in Galatia is they were trying to do the things of the Bible for acceptance. Or what we call justification. And that simply means to be declared right in the eyes of God. And all through this world, and all through this town, and all through churches this morning, they're saying, I'm going to work. I'm going to do the Ten Commandments. I'm going to try to do that one, or the seventh one, or the tenth one. I'm going to try to do these things. And then they'll read over here in Paul, and they'll say, "Why, you know, husband, love your wives, or children." And they'll say, okay, we're going to work on that. And they're trying to do these things, which are right and good in and of themselves. Because the Scripture says the law is good. But they're trying to do these things to gain favor or the smiles of God. And the only way that God's going to smile on you or smile on me is if you are in Jesus Christ. Faith. Blessed. So we've noted for many years, and we see it in the Scripture, there's two kinds of religions, and then there's a result of these two kinds of religions, whatever denomination you want to tie on it. If you're working, verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things. There's some key words here. In all things, there's the three key right there. In all things which are written in the book of the law, and here's another one, to do them. To do them. As many as are trying to please God by their own deeds or works or efforts, that is trying to be in a state of justification, a state in which God says, I'm pleased with you, by the doing of anything in this book especially, or adding to anything that's in this book. And again, most people try to live by the example set forth, or the things that they think are set forth in this book, to try to be good. And Paul says, if you're going to do that, you've got to continue in every single one of them. Every single one of them. So, if your pastor, if your mom or your dad, have they lost their temper? They ever get mad at you guys? Let's just say, for example, you get a hold of a gun and you put a hole in a brand new shed. Do you think you're going to get in trouble? You think somebody's going to be mad at you? I think you guys were spared because I was there. I think things were a little bit mellower. I'm not even going to tell you some of the things that I did. And when I got home and the police car sitting in there beat me home, I wonder what that police car is doing there. I go walk inside. I get one of those. Be angry and sin not. All things. And here's the issue with religion that today, which is you and I we're a part of, and we still have a lot of hang-ups. You and I think it's the outward things. God looks on the heart. Oh, I can't tell if you're angry, but God knows. Maybe you didn't lie outwardly, but maybe in your mind you already got it all schemed out to where if you did this, you're guilty. You see, the problem is religionists, okay, I'm going to keep these Ten Commandments and I'm going to make sure my neighbor sees me keep these. And you might fool a few people, you might even fool your own pastor, but God looks on the heart. As many as are of the works of the law, you're under the curse. Because it's written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things. And you can't just think about them. You've got to do them. The Word of God is more than an outward obedience which is required. It's inward, the inward parts, the hearts, the thoughts. Perfection is required. Perfection is demanded. And if you or I are going to live by the law, and that is our works, our merits, our doings, to please God, then it's got to be perfect. In the mind and in the heart. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verses 1 through 4. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. Who are you saying they're lost? Well, that's not very kind. Well, here's his clue. You'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They're trying to keep the law. They go to church every Sunday. Well, they even come to prayer meeting on midweek services. I saw them at the food bank. I saw them helping a poor old lady across the street. They got a zeal. Some of them face Mecca and they pray and they do. And I mean, they do and they do and they do. But Paul says, but not according to knowledge. What's he mean? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, his law, what he demands, who he is, they're ignorant of that. And they've gone about to establish their own righteousness. If I do this, God will accept me. If I do that, God will accept me. Like that rich young ruler. What do I got to do to be saved? I've done them all. Christ saw the heart. And he went away sorrowful. They're going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Why? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And everyone that believes is blessed. And everyone that is blessed is graced. And everyone that is graced didn't have anything to do in and of their own accord. Verse 11, back to our text. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. And this should put an end to the debate. For the just shall live by faith. Where to get that? Well, you don't have to turn there, but if you want to, you can write it down. Habakkuk 2:4. It's a concept that's not old. it's not a new concept, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk says it. And then in Romans, Paul says it again. And then Hebrews talks about it again, the just shall live by faith. You see, the law is doing this or not doing that, but grace is by faith, which we know is God's gift, and solely relies upon Christ's promises as being done already. This religious world is busy doing. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And all the preacher told me I need to do this. And oh, I forgot to do that. He's going to be mad at me. So I need to do this. And then I need to tell him that I did it so he knows that I did it. But to be blessed is to live by faith. And that is to trust and believe Christ and the promise. Abraham said he was going to be the father of many nations before he was. And he believed God. It was counted, put to his account as righteous. He believed God. How did he believe God? All by grace. He's blessed. I didn't plan on going here, but Bruce was in James chapter 3. And here it is right here. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs to the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? You see, works and law and the religion of Cain it's always busy doing something to try to please God. And also, it has to see. If I see this, then I believe that. But faith and grace lay hold of the promise. Has anybody here ever seen heaven? Has anybody here ever seen Christ? Well, how do you know it exists? How do you know what I'm telling you is the truth? Because it's in here. If you scrap the book, we're of all men and women and boys and girls most miserable. He says it. He gives grace to believe it. And you lay hold on it. Faith. Faith. Substance of things not seen. You see, this is why I believe works or law, as it's used here in Galatians, is so popular among religionists. Because I get tired of hearing, oh, do this, it's for a good cause. Like, why don't you just do it anyway? It's for a good cause. Do this, this is what I like, it'll make you feel better. All the time. I like this one. Do this, because it'll ease your conscience. For a while. Right? For a while. You do something good, ease your conscience for a while. And then you hear the gospel preached and you read the book and you say, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. You say, well, I got no hope. Not in of yourself. But you have all hope in Christ. You see, the gospel is constantly telling us to quit. Don't look to law. Don't look to yourself for righteousness. Don't look to yourself to try to please God. The gospel says Christ has done the work. God's pleased in him. Look to him. Believe the promise. Look and live. The soul that sinneth, the scripture says, it shall die. But he that believeth on me has everlasting life. And I'm not going to take you through steps because there's no steps. Look and live. Grace and faith says Christ has done all. Simply trust and believe all he has done and said and finished. And that's where the real peace is. And that's the only way your conscience will be cleared and set at liberty. Because I remember when I was in high school and I remember in college. And again, I don't need to go into everything, but I was a stinker. And I would do a few good things, and then my mind would be eased a little bit. And then stuff would come back and, yeah, but how do I know I did enough? How do I know I prayed enough? How do I know? And then, believe on me, and you shall be saved. And now when my conscience tries to smite me, when Satan tries to accuse me, I lay it all at the cross. He finished it. He did it. And if you're in Him, now listen to me, if you're in Him, you have all that God and His law requires. You're perfect. What? Oh, I still sin. Yeah, I do too. But in the eyes of God, where it matters, you are like His Son. And God would be unjust to put all that sin upon His Son and then again require it at you if Christ died for you. And we'll get to there in a minute. Look at verse 12, which is just really a repeat of verse 10. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Now look at verses 13 and 14 and we'll close. The mystery of the redeeming grace of God in the person and actions of Jesus the Christ. What a wonderful passage. This is one of those passages that you'll never get over. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Remember, we're either cursed or blessed. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. Being made something that He was never was before. And that's why, you know, here's why a believer gets so upset when they hear the false gospel that lies on God. This is one reason. Because we can't stomach it. Because it lies about God, it lies about the atonement, it lies about redemption, and we get aggravated because this is so precious. This is the believer's holy ground. This is the believer's, the apple of our eye. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham, not curses, blessings, might come on the Gentiles, that's you and I, because we weren't born Jews. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have the marvelous things unfolded here in this verse. It shows how the sinner is truly saved by the free and sovereign grace of God. This verse is akin to that one in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God had made Christ to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Not of law, but by faith and by grace. This is akin to that passage in Isaiah 53 where He had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He lays on us the iniquity and we on His Son and we get to go free. This is akin to that passage in Deuteronomy 21 where it talks about the guy that sins. He hangs on a tree until he's dead because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So you mean Christ was cursed of God? You and I were. Through Adam, by Adam, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we are, the curse is on us. We're not born innocent and then by our actions. Now that's what a lot of people, religious, would believe. You're born kind of a latent, dormant faith is just sitting there and then somebody's got to prod it and then it glows. No, we're born dead. Spiritually dead in the eyes of God. Can't do anything good. And we're already under that curse. We're condemned already. Christ was made a curse for His people as He hung on that cross. He was cursed. He was cursed of men. But that's just a little bit. The curse of God is what matters. The frowns of men, unfortunately, we pay too much attention to. We should be concerned about the frowns of God. But all things against us, the curse of God laid hard on Christ. He became, was made a curse for us. Because curses, everyone hung on a tree. Yes, all that means and everything that that means. He, Christ, knew not the curse of God. We are the very curse of God laying upon us, for we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Adam all die. Christ must become a curse so we would be set free, let go, pardoned, reconciled, and thereby receive Christ's perfect righteousness in us and upon us. He was cursed so we could be blessed. And we're either one or the other. Either one or the other. We're either the religion of Cain or the religion of Abel. We're either cursed or we're blessed. And when it comes down to that final day, it's again twos. That final day, he's going to separate what? The tares and the wheat. It's two again. The sheep and the goats. He's going to say, come, enter into the joy, the fellowship of the kingdom, or depart from me, you work iniquity. Cursed by works and law and self-righteousness, or blessed by grace and love and his righteousness. And the promises are only for God's chosen, elect, predestined, blessed ones. Look at verse 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us. Now, we won't go into redemption, but there's redeem. You can't redeem something that wasn't always yours. Right? When you cut out the coupons that your mom and dad redeem at the store, the store is the ones that print those things. Or the store is the one that says, today we're going to put our milk on sale. They didn't, somebody else didn't say, well, we're going to do this. It's, you know, you, if you bring a coupon, if you bring a Burger King coupon to McDonald's, are they going to honor that? No. Why? Because it's not their coupon. You bring a coupon to Town and Country Store that they printed, that originated with them, you're giving it back to them. They printed it up. It's theirs. And they're going to say, okay, yeah, we're going to redeem this. This is good. We're going to give you a discount. The elect were always God's. Born in this world, sin like everybody else. Christ redeemed. That means it's time for that one. I'm fetching that one. I'm fetching that one. We were already his. That's what, in that word redemption, that word redeemed, that's what it means. And I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. We stand up and we preach the gospel. And he uses the gospel to call his people in. Do you believe the gospel? Do you trust Christ? Are you still trying to do this to please God? Or do you realize it's all finished in him? And by faith, you trust what he says. And then you're going to follow him in baptism. And then you're going to take the Lord's Supper. You're going to do those things which he tells us to do in simple obedience to him. But he became a curse so we would be blessed. And we are blessed by grace through faith in Christ Jesus by his own workings in us and through us. Because this is, grace is so foreign to you and I. It's something that we would never think of. He has to open our eyes and our heart. Or we would just continue on our way. And one last thing. And all this right here, as in with the gospel, as in with grace, as in with the religion of Abel and love. Have you noticed one thing? The blessings always come from heaven to earth. We don't bless God. Have you noticed that in any passage of Scripture? In this here particularly. It's by faith. It's not by the law. Because if you're the law or working, it's cursed. If you're faith, blessed. And did you notice how God blessed Abraham? And God blessed Melchizedek? And God blessed Aaron. And God blessed David. And God blesses you and me. It always comes down from heaven to earth. It always comes from Him to us. It's always from the outside of us and always initiated by Him. That's why it's called grace. And that's why it's a blessing. And that's why it's through the promises by faith. Scott, would you close this, please?